across the land. Blair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Blair Adams, Nostra Dennis, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
Chris, what day is it? It's Wednesday, and I have a list of what this is. This is the American Adversaries Drive Time. This is going to contain the following: thoughtful insights, biting commentary, helpful hints for the Republican Party, a joke or two or three, a great guest, Roger Franklin Williams. This is what today's edition of the American Adversaries will not contain: Blair Adams singing. I'm Nostra Dennis, and here is the dulcet tones, hopefully not singing but speaking, of my partner, Christopher Hart.
Oh, thank you so very much, Nostra Dennis, and welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Sands singing. Well, there is one thing that you forgot on your list, though.
What? What are we
it
doing?
It is Wednesday.
Yeah.
That means it's Raise Tickets Day.
Oh, yeah.
That's right, folks. Be listening for that Raise highlight play during one of our commercial breaks. And when you hear it, get on that phone. Start dialing 407-774-8255. And if you are the right caller, you will get a Raise family four-pack of tickets, which are good to any Raise home game between now and the end of the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
So get that phone ready, 407-774-8255. That's our number anyway if you want to call and talk to us. But be ready on that phone line when those Rays tickets come available.
It's so nice that the Rays have been playing baseball in September. That means something for the last 5 years.
Yeah, absolutely. And they've been a little bit off and on lately, but they look pretty good this last series.
Hanging in there.
Yeah, and once again, be on the lookout. And when you hear that Rays highlight play, get on the phone. Okay, we're going to be here with you for the next hour. It is rainy out there, so if you're out on the roads, obviously be careful. If you're thinking about going out on the roads, maybe you might want to wait another 30, 40 minutes or so to let some of these storms blow on through. They're not long-lasting, but they can be a hard downpour.
At 4:30, it came down. It was like a wave out of Maitland, and within 10 minutes, it was a light drizzle.
Sure enough, I pull up here in the parking lot of the studio, and I think I'm going to be able to get it from my car into the studio, and just right that time, down it came.
Yep.
So be careful, please, if you are out on the roads. Okay, tonight we're going to talk a little bit about Big Brother. Too bad Lair's not here. He will be back tomorrow night, folks.
Sure.
Yeah.
He did all that photoshopping?
We'll see what sort of covert operations he may have been in on. But he'll be back tomorrow night. He always likes to talk about Big Brother in 1984. We're going to talk about that a little bit. We're going to talk a little bit about the Benghazi thing. John Kerry's playing. What's that game where you have like the three cups and you hide the pee under it, you know, and you slide the cups around and the person's supposed to find the cup with the pee?
The cup and the pee. The pee game.
Yeah, that. That's what they're playing now at
shell
the State
game.
Department.
Shell game.
That's the one. Okay. You got it. That's what they're playing now at the State Department. Move these people around who were there, who know things about Benghazi, and make them unavailable, if you will, to Congress.
Well, at first they said, these are the four culprits. We're letting them go. Well, no, they were on administrative leave. And now they're back. That's okay. We don't think they did anything wrong.
Yeah, well, we're going to be talking about when we come back from this break, first break. We're also going to talk about tonight, there's going to be a brand new episode of Duck Dynasty coming out, and there's some analysis out now coming about why the show is so successful. And I want to use it to sort of parry off. We're going to talk about real people and fake people. And it turns out the real people are the ones who are on the TV show, the Robertsons, and the fake people are the ones who we would like to be the real people, the Clintons.
Sharon and I finally sat down Sunday night, and we saw the repeat of the first episode, and I see why it clicks, because if you watch most reality shows, they are full of people who are full of themselves.
Right.
And take themselves way too seriously.
Right.
And these folks, to a man and to a woman, none of them takes himself seriously, and that's what makes this show so great.
And they would fit right in around here, that is for sure. But let's start off talking about this Big Brother thing. You know, it dawned on me, you know, Barack Obama said when he was first running for president that he was going to have the most transparent administration in history, right? And, you know, all this time we've been thinking, oh, you know, no, he's not transparent. You know, he's keeping this from us. He's keeping that from us. They do this behind the closed doors. They got Benghazi. Now you got all these scandals. He never meant that he or his administration were going to be transparent. What he really meant was that we were going to be transparent. And what I mean by that is the government is going to take its privilege of looking into our lives in every way, every shape, every form, every opportunity they get. The NSA scandal is indicative of that. All right. But before we go any further, because really only half the fault lies with Barack Obama, I've got Nick has a soundbite teed up for us in here. Now, this was on Meet the Press in 1975. Remember that year, 1975. This is Senator Frank Church, who was a Democrat. I believe he was from Idaho or Illinois. Some states start with an I. Nick, hit it, will you?
In the need to develop a capacity to know what potential enemies are doing, the United States government has perfected a technological capability that enables us to monitor the messages that go through the air. Now, that is necessary and important to the United States as we look abroad at enemies or potential enemies. We must know. At the same time, that capability at any time could be turned around on the American people. And no American would have any privacy left, such as the capability to monitor everything, telephone conversations, telegrams, it doesn't matter. There would be no place to hide.
Hmm. No place to... 1975.
And he's talking about messages that go through the air. This is before cell phones, before smartphones, before the cloud, before the internet.
Remember, did you hear what he said? He said, whether it be on telephone or telegraph.
Yeah.
I mean, Western Union shut down the telegraph offices about a decade ago.
Wow.
But yes, the capability has been there for a long time. The United States government has been utilizing this capability for a long time. The problem with Barack Obama is he sold himself as being something different. He was going to be the guy who was going to find out about stuff like this and make it right. Instead, he has allowed it to carry forward. And there's more and more evidence coming out every day that this sort of thing is going on. Today, in the front page of the Wall Street Journal, there's an article about the NSA. In the New York Times, the front page of today's New York Times, there's an article about how the Department of Homeland Security is developing technology to be able to pick out faces in crowds. You've probably heard a little bit about this before, where they'll be able to mount cameras, be it in a football stadium or on a street corner or in a movie theater. And it will monitor the people who the camera picks up, and it will be able to detect and be able to tell who they are, their identity. They will, in other words, it will recognize you, Nostradamus, if you're sitting in seat 15, row A of the Tampa Bay football stadium over there.
Haven't they done that in past Super Bowls?
They have.
Yeah,
yes.
They've had those things set up. Maybe not for everybody, but they've at least been able to get a cross-section of people coming in the arena.
With the help of companies like Google, they are going to be able to do this anywhere.
Hmm.
In other words, wherever there's a video camera, it can be tied into this system. Whether it be down here downtown on Orange Avenue, whether it be at a traffic light. That's the capability. This is the capability that comes with the digital age and the age that we live in of high-definition communications and telecommunications. So what we have to do is actually be vigilant about it. All right, it's going to be there. It's going to exist. For instance, the Wall Street Journal does a very good job of describing how the NSA picks up this data. And basically, they're just filtering the data that's already there. And what you have to understand is the NSA monitors not only foreign data, but much of the data that is, you know, we use in normally in the United States of America. Let's say I send Nostradamus an email across town here. That could be monitored by the NSA. And here's why they would say they could do it. A real clever terrorist can get on a computer in, let's say, somewhere in some backwoods town village in Yemen. And as long as he has internet access, if he's real clever, he can access computers here in the United States to do his communicating for him, right?
So you could be a terrorist sending me an email.
If I have a computer, it could be used in that fashion. And that's why the NSA thinks that they need to monitor us. And a lot of people would probably agree if that's what's going on.
I got one question.
What's that?
Quis custodiet ipsos custodies? Who is watching the watchmen?
And that's what it boils down to.
If they're watching us, who's watching them?
Right. And at this point, no one. No one is watching them. Much of what is coming out in the media over the last week or so has been contrary to what we have been told the FISA courts even knew about. And the FISA courts are the ones that they are supposed to go to get approval to access this information. The data is already there. It is also being, by the way, done in conjunction with the telephone companies like AT&T. For instance, have you ever heard of Blarney?
Well, I'm Irish. Of course I've heard of Blarney.
Have you ever heard of,
I hear it every day.
Have you ever heard of Fairview or Oakstar or Lithium or Stormbrew? These are all filtering, gathering programs that are used in conjunction with the NSA and the phone companies. For instance, Blarney and AT&T. Blarney is supposed to be the AT&T version. And once again, you have to understand how these communications happen. When we talk through our telephones, the electronic signal only goes a short distance. Once it goes into a communications tower, basically, it is at that point digitalized. In other words, it's no longer, in essence, an electronic signal. It's a series of numbers. So it is already recorded. You see? They don't have to go any further to record it. Once you use it, it is recorded. And so it then simply becomes a matter of who gets to see it. And that's where all of this comes in. That's why we need, as you put it, someone to watch those who are watching us. Because not only are they watching us now, big time, it is going to increase. You can count on it. You can guarantee it. And a lot of people are going to beg for it in the name of security.
Well, you know what else we're going to need? We're also going to need a big warehouse to store all this data, like the one they're building out in Utah that's 3 miles high and 5 miles across.
And very deep. Mm-hmm. What you see is just a fraction of what's there. Most of the building is underground.
Yeah, it's the literal tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, exactly. So you expect this to continue. Expect these revelations to continue. As I said, that clip, 1975. So this is nothing new. All right. The only thing with President Obama is, no, he didn't mean to be transparent at all. He didn't mean to stop any of this at all. And therefore, he was not a man of his word. So what else is new in that regard? But just goes to show you, you know, we just assume that what he meant when he said was transparent, that he was talking about himself and the government, when in fact, he was talking about us.
Oh, wow, transparency,
yeah.
That's great.
And, oh, by the way, guess what else they use this monitoring for?
What?
Drug trafficking.
Well, we need that.
Have you ever heard of Pablo Escobar?
Oh, yeah, sure.
You know, they got Pablo Escobar?
Traffic ticket?
Well, it was basically that day's version of the NSA tracking. They tracked his telephone, and they told the police down there where to find him. And once the police were honest enough and they wouldn't call Pablo on another line and tell him, hey, the United States just told us where you're at. You better get out of there. Once they finally got past that, they got him, and they killed him.
Ay, chihuahua.
Ay, chihuahua. Okay.
We are the American Adversaries Drive Time. Segment one, about to end. Segment two, about to come in. Second half of the show, Roger Franklin Williams joins us. You better stick around.
From the dressing room to re-stretch their tights, here are the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversaries.
All right, that's right, folks. We're the American Adversaries Drive Time. Nostra Dennis and Christopher Hart with you this afternoon. Larry will be back tomorrow night, and we're going to be joined in the studio tomorrow night by Colonel Danny McKnight, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and Mike McBath. So
that's crazy.
It's going to be a very interesting afternoon.
I call it a battle royale.
It'll be a great afternoon as well. Okay, I hope you'll join us as well, folks. And don't forget to join us on September 1st down at Cafe Positano, right up the street here, 4 miles west of I-4 on State Road 436. We're going to do a live Sunday night broadcast from Cafe Positano, remote broadcast. We invite you down. We're going to be celebrating our third year on the air here on 660 WORL. We started 3 years ago, September 5th, on Sunday nights.
You know, the whole of Jesus Christ's ministry on earth was 3 years. We've done enough?
Not nearly.
No, we need a little more time.
Yeah. We're just scratching at the surface. Yeah, we need a lot more time. But please, come out and join us at Cafe Positano September 1st. It's going to be a lot of fun. Going to be gift cards to give away, other prizes, entertainment. Might even throw together a little trivia game.
I think we can do that.
Yeah, that's always a lot of fun. So please, come on out and join us and get a chance to meet us all. And after the show is over, we're just going to hang around and have some good old food and enjoy the entertainment. So make an evening of it. It's Labor Day weekend, and most people don't have to go to work the next day, so it'll be a good time to come out and enjoy Cafe Positano.
I'm going to hang out till Pasquale kicks me out.
I tell you what. And, folks, I highly suggest you make a reservation. Yeah, we'll take reservations that night, any night. 407-774-8080 is the number for Cafe Positano. 407-774-8080. Come on out and see us. Okay, speaking of seeing us, it's going to be hard, I guess, to see these guys that were involved in the... Just tell us exactly what's going on here with this shell game of John Kerry's.
Well, within a few months after Benghazi, when there was the call for... You know, somebody's got to be responsible for this. Somebody's got to pay the price. Well, four mid to low level State Department officials were put on administrative leave.
They were identified as the culprits, in other
words. The question was, the information about the ambassador requesting help got to what level? How high a level did it get to before it stopped and didn't get to Secretary of State? Hillary Clinton.
Allegedly.
So they found these four folks and said, you, and you, out of here.
Made scapegoats out of them.
That's right. This past week, though, they were told, go back to your jobs. One of them was quoted as saying, I got a call from HR. No explanation, no briefing, just come back to work. So they did. So they're not back at the exact same jobs they had when they were put on leave. Just like maternity leave, when you go to have a baby, when you come back, you are guaranteed by law to have an equivalent job. So they were given a job at State, maybe not the exact job they had before.
And that's where the shell game part comes in, and the part of laying them off and then bringing them back. And probably now that they're back at the State Department, it will be harder for Congress to subpoena them and interview them.
Right. National security reasons.
Exactly.
You know, so, it's kind of like what a diocese does when it has a priest that's doing bad things.
Yep.
You either kick them out and keep them out, or you shuffle them off to another parish and hope nobody notices.
And also, now that these people are back on the job, they will be subject to pressure from their coworkers, their superiors. They'll be now back in that environment.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so it's... you know, the cover-up goes on. Once again, there is no transparency here. The transparent ones are us, not the government. And it'll be harder, I predict, now to find out exactly what did happen. That doesn't mean Congress can't find out or shouldn't keep trying, but certainly I do not doubt that it will be harder.
It's been basically Darrell Issa's part-time job for the last year to hammer away at this issue, trying to get what he can out of it.
Yeah. And by the way, during some of the hearings that have already transpired, taken place, The testimony has indicated that this information that you just referenced as to, you know, how high it went, it did go to, and I believe they call it the seventh floor or whatever floor it is of the State Department building in Washington, D.C., where the secretary's office is. Yeah. Evidently, there was testimony that it did make it to her office.
Yeah, but not to her desk.
Yeah, well, even if it made it to her desk, that doesn't mean that she saw it. Remember?
Right.
Those Rose Law Firm billing records were found on her personal desk in her personal quarters of the White House by a secretary, even though Hillary testified that she had never seen them.
Well, and she had migraines, too, at the time. So, you know, at this point, what difference does it make?
Just don't let her give you migraines, folks. They'll be comeuppance. You watch and see.
Comeuppance will come?
What goes around comes around. And in politics, when it comes back around, it often gets you pretty hard. So this is going to be interesting to watch, if nothing else. What else is also interesting is we haven't given away those Rays tickets yet. So listen during these next couple of breaks. That's right. If you hear that highlight play, get on that phone, 407-774-8255. And hopefully you'll pick up a Rays Family 4 packet to any Rays home game between now and the end of the season.
It's the American Adversaries Drive. Be careful out there, folks. It is slippery out there. Nostra Dennis in for Lair and Chris. And we got our engine ear, Nick, behind the glass. Stay tuned. We'll be back with Roger Franklin Williams.
AC on the fritz again? Don't heat up. Get over to Blue Book Cars for an ultra-cool, low-mileage pre-owned car or SUV. Go to BlueBookCars.com, the official sponsor of your daily commute.
Hi, I'm Christopher Hart. Welcome to tonight's American Adversaries Soundbite RX News Minute. That's SoundbiteRx.com, a great way to be better informed. Tonight's Soundbite RX News Minute is being brought to you by Vacation Travel Planners. It's never too late or too early to plan your next vacation. So give them a call at Vacation Travel Planners. That's 321-251-4777, 321-251-4777. Let's go now to Ted Bogert of SoundbiteRx.com. Welcome to the show tonight, Ted.
Thanks, Chris.
You know, I've been talking a lot about the war on the middle class that is being waged, and there's no better evidence of that with the Health Care Act passed by President Obama. Due to a Health Care Act, the very nature of jobs is changing in America as businesses shift from full-time to part-time workers. And you have the latest to announce this, right, Ted?
Chris, it's unbelievable. Forever 21, which is one of the largest retailers in the country, just announced that they are going to demote, for lack of a better word, full-timers to part-timers, which will basically cut all of their benefits, but not only cut their benefits, it cuts their wages, and it impacts the entire economy.
And they're just the latest. We are getting announcements from various companies all the time, right?
You're absolutely right. And what it's doing is it's impacting all of the large businesses and the small businesses.
And in particular, isn't this a huge burden on small businesses?
I actually don't know how small businesses are going to survive this, Chris. It is such a huge problem. It's going to put so many small businesses out of business or make it impossible for them to keep employees or at least keep full-time employees. It's actually a nightmare.
And it's also going to keep them from expanding.
Absolutely. How are we going to grow in the country? What's going to happen with the economy? This does nothing but send the economy more backwards than it already is.
You're absolutely right about that. Hey, thanks, Ted Bogert of Soundbite RX. Remember, folks, this is the full story. You'll get the whole story at Soundbite RX. That's SoundbiteRx.com. Please check them out right now. Don't waste any time. SoundbiteRx.com. And now, back to the show.
Hey, this is Johnny B. Badd, the Badd Man of World Championship Wrestling, and I'm here to tell you, listen to the American Adversaries. They may be some bad men, but they're great guys.
Nostra Dennis here with the American Adversaries. Christopher Hart here on the Drive Time Show, and I got a question for you. How do you make an engineer work off 500 calories in 2 minutes?
You play a Rays home game
highlight
play. That's
exactly what you do. My goodness, Nick is running around back there.
It didn't take long, though, that Rays home, that highlight play played in that last break.
We got a winner.
And Josh from Winter Park. Congratulations to Josh from Winter Park. You have won the Rays Family 4-Pack, and Nick's in there getting his information right now, so he'll be able to see any Rays home game between now and the end of the season.
And speaking of winners,
yeah,
our next guest is accustomed to winning up close, because he kicks it old school all the time with Apopka High School football. It is Roger Franklin Williams. Welcome to the American Adversaries.
Thanks for having me, guys. I've been looking forward to it.
Hey.
Always get together with Chris. You know, he was on my show recently, and we had a great time.
Definitely.
Appreciate
definitely.
The invitation.
Yeah, I look forward to being back on your show anytime, and, you know, the door's always open here. But we have you in here for a couple of reasons tonight. First of all, it is football season again, my favorite time of the year. My favorite is college football. High school football is really good, though. And once again, this year, the station is going to be covering live Apopka football, Blue Darter of football games.
1520 WBZW, absolutely. And we're looking forward to it. Now, the first game is actually, the Blue Darters have definitely hit the big time.
Yeah.
Now, you know, we're defending state champions
right.
in the large division, Class 8A division
right.
for the state of Florida. But this coming Saturday, the Blue Darters are going to be on ESPN Network.
Wow. Yep.
And they're actually traveling to South Carolina, up to Duncanville, South Carolina, to play the Burns High Rebels Saturday afternoon in a nationally televised game.
I'm guessing they're a state champion up there, too?
From what I understand, they've been, I don't know how they did last year, but they've been state champions 10 or more times. They're the dominant
right.
program
it's
in the state of
South
Carolina.
It's going to be a great test for them this week.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's going to be interesting. Is the team going up like the day before on Friday?
They're taking off Friday morning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I also want to let you know that another show that we do on 1520, the Blue Darter Sports Central,
mm-hmm.
will be coming on 11 a.m. on Friday morning. And we're going to interview Coach Darlington. We're coming out tomorrow, and we're going to take those interviews and some of the players and
right.
and have a lot of insight before the big game. And then that show will also be replayed on 1520 WBZW Saturday morning from 11 to noon, just a few hours before the game.
Before the game itself. What time does the game start on ESPN?
Not exactly sure. It's I think it's around 2 o'clock Saturday afternoon.
Okay, just check your TV guides. Now, when they come back to town, when they actually get into league play back here, you're going to be broadcasting all the games, not just home games, but all their games for the rest of the season, right?
Exactly. In fact, last year, you know, how playoffs are in every level. You just, especially in high school football, you win until you lose, basically.
Right.
And, you know, we started, you know, obviously we made the playoffs, which was a big thrill, and which wasn't that easy. You know,
right.
Apopka started off 1-2, which included a district loss, started off 0-1 in the district. So they had to win all the rest of their games just to qualify for the playoffs.
And then, of course, win through the playoffs.
Yeah, and but they got started, and it was it seemed to improve. Once they hit the playoff, postseason improved every single week, and it was just a great run. And it was a real thrill and a real blessing to have the opportunity to broadcast the games all the way through the state championship game at the Citrus Bowl.
And it seems like Apopka is kind of like Osceola, in that they never seem to rebuild, they just reload. They always seem to have underclassmen who are ready to come up and step up.
Yeah, I attribute that to several things. First and foremost, just an outstanding head coach, Coach Rick Darlington, who's just, I can't say enough about him. And I'd say he's 90% of the
their
reason
success.
That we have,
sure.
have that very elite level of success consistently.
Right.
But another factor is just, I guess some parallels to the Kissimmee Osceola community, is Apopka's just a great sports town. And it's a small town community.
Sure.
And for decades, going back to when I was a little kid coming up playing Little League.
And you graduated Apopka.
And I'm alumni,
yep.
Apopka Blue Darter football alumni,
yep.
I'm proud to say. But there's just a tremendous youth sports program in Apopka. And a lot of it goes, you've got to give credit to the adults.
And
who give a tremendous amount of time and effort coaching Little League, coaching
yep.
Pop Warner football.
That's right.
And kids literally become socialized. Literally at the 3, 4, 5 year, your kids will be out playing ball
yeah.
as early as 3, 4, 5, 6 years old. So that by the time they come into the football program, you've got a lot of fully formed football players.
It's a great athletics, of course, you know, folks, is a great way to teach kid discipline, to teach them, you know, about life itself. And a lot of great athletes have come out of Apopka. Warren Sapp, football, a Super Bowl winner with the Tampa Bay Bucks,
just
inducted to the Hall of Fame. And there's a pitcher for the Los Angeles.
Greinke,
right, who came from
All-star
Apopka.
All-star pitcher.
Yeah, and he's tearing it up.
Cy Young Award winner, absolutely.
You look for the Dodgers in the playoffs, and they have one of the hottest records.
Yeah, they beat my Mets a couple times this year with him on the mound.
That's right. So, once again, every high school football game, and I loved listening last season. You guys
Thank you.
A great job of broadcasting the game. You really get a feel of the game. I just love listening to sports on radio. It's something you experience that you don't get from TV.
Now, who's that sidekick you have there?
Gary Allen was with us last year, and Gary did an excellent job. And this year, we're going to have Joe Ferraro will be joining us as a color analyst.
Joe does a great job. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
I think you're so right, Chris, about just radio as a medium, you know. And I think that, you know, the doomsayers have predicted the demise of radio ever since at least television came along.
That's right.
And radio is not only going strong, I would say arguably the most popular medium.
I think you're absolutely right. You know, it's not only is it convenient, but it stimulates your mind. And you do not get that from television. Television numbs your brain.
And radio is the most personal medium, and I think that's why it's so enduring. People wake up to their radio. The first sound they hear in the morning is their radio.
Right.
Many people, the last sound they hear before they drop off to sleep is their radio.
Right.
It's in your car with you. You know, that's the most personal, intimate moments. People in your car, people build that relationship with their radio station and with their radio personality, just like they do with the American Adversary.
Sure, and we appreciate that. I mean, that's what makes it work. But you also have another radio show that you do live. You referenced it a little while ago. I wasn't on this football show. I'd like to do that.
But you will be. Yeah. You can be, absolutely. Okay.
But you also do a show. It's called Roger Franklin Williams Live. Tell us a little about that.
That's a show, actually, Chris, has been on the air since 1997. New Year's Eve day, 1997, was our very first show. I remember Grant Malloy, former Sonoma County Commissioner. Grant Malloy was one of our guests.
Hey,
on
Grant,
very
he's
first
probably
show.
Listening right now.
It's two large missions. Well, the general mission is to protect and defend America's founding traditions of God, family, and country. That's the mission. And we essentially have two main themes in terms of content. One are in-depth interviews with Central Florida elected officials, which, as we know, there's so much. Most of what your show and my show are anonymous. Most of what you hear on the radio is nationally syndicated programming.
Correct. That's right.
From whether it's left, right, whatever. And what happens there, many of our local elected officials never make it onto the airwaves.
That's right.
And certainly not going to see them on television unless there's some kind of scandal or something
involving them. Exactly.
And certainly nothing in-depth and substantive.
Right.
So we have in-depth interviews with Central Florida elected officials such as Congressman John Mica and, you know, our local founding commissioners, mayors, et cetera, et cetera. And then also a strong focus, of course, on our hometown, our Popka community.
And when does that air?
Every Wednesday from 11 to noon.
And that's on
1520 WCW.
And 1520, of course, folks, you know, that's where you find us when the Rays preempt us during our show. And that's going to happen a couple of times over the next couple of weeks. We'll give you a couple of heads up, you know, days before. But 1520 is a sister station here at Salem Communications. Roger does a great job. He did invite me on his show about a week or so ago, and it was a very interesting conversation we had. And I think you would like his show. So Roger Franklin Williams Live every Wednesday, 11 to 12 a.m., on 1520 WBZW. And every Friday night, between now and hopefully the championship game once again at the end of the high school football season, you can catch Roger and Joe Ferraro on 1520 WBZW. When does the show actually start? I know the games kick off usually like 7 or 7:30.
The show starts at 7 with our pregame is 7 to 7:30,
right.
And then we'll have the game, you know, live at kickoff 7:30. I'd just like to pick up on the point that you mentioned too, Chris, and I think it's very important, and I want to make sure that we emphasize it properly. And as you said, sports has the potential to really be such a positive influence in the life of people of all ages, men and women of all ages, but particularly younger people.
Sure.
And as you said, I have to agree with you totally. My favorite sports are college football and high school sports. At the professional level, I think a lot of those values, unfortunately, go out the window.
They sort of get unraveled, don't they?
It almost becomes the opposite of what you've learned growing up.
But,
becomes priority then.
But I do want to emphasize Coach Rick Darlington, his number one priority isn't winning games, isn't putting trophies in the trophy case. His number one priority is teaching these young football players the proper values in life, the proper hard work, teamwork, respect for their elders, how to win with class, how to lose with class, giving back to the community. And that's one thing I really want to emphasize, because it's not always the case. Even at the high school level, I'm sure we can all name a few names, but there are programs out there and even coaches that are satisfied with just the winning aspect,
sure,
and don't teach anything about helping develop the youngsters. But one thing that Coach Darlington, first and foremost, is focused on building a well-rounded young man.
He kind of reminds me of, have you ever seen that movie Coach Carter?
Yeah.
About the basketball coach. It's a great movie, and that's the kind of coach that Coach Darlington is. He wants to build men, and in the process, build a winning team. And if it were, women or girls, we'd want to build women. That's the whole point behind, at least it's supposed to be, the whole point behind amateur athletics.
Absolutely, especially at the high school level. And
exactly.
Originally at the college level, and unfortunately that's pretty much out the window these days.
Yeah, so it is. Well, listen, we're coming up on a break. When we come back, we're going to remind you, about where you can find Roger Franklin Williams. But he's going to join us for the rest of the show, and we're going to talk about a couple of topics that we were going to talk about anyway. Have you ever seen Duck Dynasty, the show?
Yeah, that's a great show. I love those guys.
Well, we're going to talk about it when we come back.
The American Adversaries, Drive Time. I'm not Larry Adams, but I play him on the radio. We'll be right back.
The American Adversaries, where you and the president can wrestle for the truth.
We're still in this wrestling match with
Blair Adams
and
Christopher Hart, the American Adversaries.
Yeah, the mics may go off, but the show goes on in between the breaks. Roger Franklin Williams with us here, Christopher Hart and Nostra Dennis, and let's get right back to it.
Well, Roger, a lot of times we hear what we call around here echoes of the American Adversaries out there. You were just telling us about
one today on a very prominent radio show.
Tell us about it.
Well, it was interesting as we were talking when you joined me on Roger Franklin Williams Live.
Right.
And we kind of had a very nice discussion about the name of your program, your mission and your name, the American Adversaries, why the program is called the American Adversaries. And
sure.
You gave a very nice tutorial, if you will, on the Constitution and how that's really the core of our constitutional basis of our Constitution is to have competing interests,
exactly.
Adversarial interests. The Congress in many cases is adversarial to the Senate. The House.
That's all part of the checks
Congress,
and balances.
The Congress is adversarial to the President. The President is adversarial to the court system and so on and so forth. That's the way the system is supposed to work. And I heard Rush Limbaugh talking today about how one of the reasons we're in the mess, I think a lot of us feel that we are in. What I mean by that specifically is this hard tilt to the hardcore cultural left that we're dealing with now and experiencing with our government.
Yep.
The left has taken over the United States government.
Right.
It is due to a lack of that adversarial relationship being played well by the Washington Republicans.
Right.
We've said in the past that Obama loves the fight. But it's not actually correct, because he doesn't really love the fight. Like a wrestler, he loves kicking the other guy in the corner when the referee's not looking. And as soon as the other guy gets up and faces him, whoa, hey, let's not get adversarial here.
Obama's the kind of guy that will give you a red belly.
As long as no one's looking. Yeah.
And that's his history of Chicago politics.
Exactly. And I actually brought it up with Lenny Curry, chairman of the Florida Republican Party last night, in a sort of a subtle way. And that is, are the Republicans ready to do this? Because they have to be, it's their responsibility to be adversarial. And let the media react the way they're going to react anyway. Just put that out of your mind. Do what you're supposed to do, and we'll all be a whole lot better off for it.
And that brings up two thoughts. One, and that's another part of our culture that's not fulfilling their adversarial role, and that's the media. The media
True.
Is supposed to be the fourth estate.
Right.
The media is supposed to be the watchdog. Doesn't matter of whether it's Republicans, independents, or Democrats, liberals, moderates, conservatives. The media should be playing that adversarial watchdog.
And they're a
lapdog
now.
On government.
Yeah. They're a little chihuahua.
Yeah. I have no problem, really, with the way they treat Republicans, if only they would treat Democrats the same way. All right, let's go. And by the way, folks, you can hear a lot more of that that sort of rhetoric coming out of Roger Franklin Williams on Roger Franklin Williams Live, 11 to 12 every Wednesday on 1520 WBZW. That's 11 to 12 a.m. Let's go to Rick real quick, who has a comment about Obama, and then we're going to talk a little bit of Duck Dynasty. Hey, Rick, how you doing tonight? Do you watch?
Doing great.
Do you watch Duck Dynasty, Rick?
No, it comes on at a time when it's not available to me.
DVR.
Okay.
DVR.
All right, anyway, your comment real quick.
Okay, that Soundbite RX regarding Forever 21 and everybody going part-time, there is an industry that will never go part-time, and that is government.
Yeah, I was going to anticipate
that.
Yeah.
That and forgiving student loans for people who graduate college and then go into the public sector, they're bribing people to go into government.
Well, not only bribing, but basically leaving you without any other choice if you want a decent job in this day and age. So, yeah, this is all part of what I'm calling Barack Obama's and the liberals' war on the middle class. You know, you're either going to live the way we want you to live, or you're not going to be living at all.
And if everybody's working for the government, who's going to fight them?
Right. Sure. Okay, good point. And thanks for checking out Soundbite RX. And I highly suggest you folks check it out, too, soundbiterx.com. They're always loading new information in there, and you'll find a lot more of the details of these stories. And speaking of stories, I wanted to contrast Duck Dynasty with the Clintons, because, you know, Duck Dynasty, these are real people. Right? It's a quote-unquote reality TV show, but I think these are probably, as Dennis was saying in your opening remarks, the realest of the people on the reality shows.
They really are. To me, they're the only real people on reality TV.
And we talked Sunday night how one of them was escorted out of a hotel in New York when they were doing a media tour for their season premiere, which was last Wednesday. There's a new episode tonight, by the way, folks, at 10 o'clock. And last week's will be replayed at 9. His response was he just walked around and came back in the front door, you know, and didn't make any big deal about it, didn't have the guy, you know, fired or something, didn't react like Oprah Winfrey reacted, right? They're real people. And they have great success. Their season premiere last week was 11 million viewers.
11 million, bigger than Mad Men, bigger than Breaking Bad, bigger than the series finale for The Office.
And there's reasons now being speculated as to why it's such a popular show, right, Dennis?
Well, first, because they don't have to worry about script writers to put together the funny lines. They come up with the funny lines themselves. Second, they really don't edit themselves. They don't curse, so they don't have to edit themselves. They were told after the first season, could you pray a little less? Phil Robertson said, no, we can't. Okay.
You can't argue with success, though, can you, Roger?
No, I'm great to see it. In fact, I think programs such as this are kind of a safe haven, actually, or a haven for viewers, just like 660 WRL and just like the American Adversary.
Well, thank you very much, and you're absolutely right. It is a safe haven, but for anybody paying any attention out there, it also means that this is what the consumer, the TV consumer, is looking for, right? Has Oprah Winfrey ever had 11 million viewers for any of her programs?
Oh, I'm sure the Oprah show, the daytime show, has had numbers like that.
Okay.
On one of three big networks, 5 days a week, sure.
All right. But nonetheless, this was the highest-rated nonfiction series program in cable TV history, their premiere last week. Now, let's just juxtapose them. That means put them opposite of the Clintons, who are supposed to be real people, right? He was former president. He was a president. She's Secretary of State, senator. And yet they are the biggest fakes to ever come down the pike, right, Roger?
Yeah, they even polled for the name of their dog. They conducted a poll. They conducted
right.
a poll to see where they were going to go and should go on vacation.
Right. And now, of course, they're big time against global warming and all this business. But this comes out.
Well, the Bill Clinton Foundation has racked up a total for 10 years, a total of $50 million in travel expenses. But it costs a lot to go around the world.
That's $5 million a year. How is that calculated?
He's trying to save the whole world, that's all.
So is this what it would cost a normal person to fly as the many miles that they fly?
Well, some of these trips are made on private jets, and then they calculate what it would have cost. Because
sure.
there's a lot of FOBs out there, you know, friends of Bill.
Okay.
And then some. Sometimes the jet owner will build the foundation, and sometimes they let them use the plane at a discount. But $50 million just to jet set around the world and build a big carbon footprint for 10 years. Now, Clinton says when the audited financials are released, they will show the foundation has a surplus. And that makes sense because right now these numbers are raw. After they've been cooked a little bit,
I was going to say
they'll be a little bit more palatable.
Just let them work on those books a little, and then everything will add up.
Yeah, I got some accountants can work on that. Yeah,
Roger.
this whole thing doesn't surprise me a bit. Does it surprise anybody?
It shouldn't. And it reminded me, though, of something, and I saw this also in the Wall Street Journal. This was Monday. Something we've talked about on our show from the beginning, which we're coming up on our three-year anniversary. And by the way, Roger, I hope you'll come down to Cafe Positano September 1st, Sunday night, and join us. We're going to do a live three-hour broadcast down there. Love to have you sit in with us for a while. Celebrate our three-year anniversary. We're not as long as been on radio as long as you since 1997.
It'll take a while.
But we're running behind you. But one of the things that we talked about early on and periodically since every now and then, I would bring up what I call the perverse rules of politics. There are several perverse rules of politics. And what I mean by that is you often get the opposite of what you're going for. And one of the perverse rules of politics is be careful with legislation because you often get the opposite effect. And this is kind of what you were talking about with the Clintons. And not just are the Clintons putting more carbon emissions in the atmosphere in the effort to reduce carbon emissions in the atmosphere, but the EPA has also done that. Carbon energy subsidies and these green energy projects are all meant to reduce carbon emissions. The EPA has now released a study that shows, whoops, they increased carbon emissions.
But they meant well.
Okay, folks, don't mean well. Be here tomorrow night for the American Adversaries and do well.
Roger, thank you very much.
Thanks for inviting me. And great show.
Yeah, love to have you back. We'll do this again.
That's Roger Franklin Williams live 11 till noon every Wednesday on 1520 WBZW, Popka's hometown station.
And don't forget to catch that Blue Darter football.
Night, everyone.
Every Friday night.
Night, everybody.
660 WORL. Altamont Springs, Orlando. 660 WORL.com. Division of Salem Communications. On the NASDAQ as